Hi, everyone, and welcome to And Just Like What? A Sex in the City Rewind podcast.
Where Sex in the City superfans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith, and we were having tea with caffeine in it. Well, I am.
Meredith is in a red rose. No, what is it? A celestial seasonings Yorkshire. Rage. Yorkshire rage.
Tea is a slow release of caffeine, Ricky.
So apparently Miranda can't have coffee anymore, but she can drink copious loads of black tea.
You just full on call me Miranda. Do you know that you just call me Miranda?
I actually corrected myself and almost called you. I was going to call you Meredith, and then I corrected myself and called you Miranda. No, I called you Meredith.
You call me Miranda.
I do that often. I actually do it a lot. I was listening to the pod, our pod, and I did it like a few times.
I don't hate it, but I also have known you for like over a decade.
Can I say that you are more of a Miranda than a Meredith?
Like, you mean like a Meredith Grey, Meredith from Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, yeah. Or Meredith Brooks from Salt. Do you watch Real Housewives at all?
No, there's someone named Meredith
Glad. Brooks. Oh, be glad you don't know that one. It's a train wreck. But we have a little bit of a train wreck in this one. Her Carrie in the restaurant. Oh, she went full Housewives on Mr. Big. It was so good.
Okay, wait. I just need to give some insight into this episode because we are talking about last week I learned what penultimate means, which I think is kind of unfair because shouldn't the last episode have a better word than the finale? Like, why does the second last get penultimate?
Penultimate is a fun word. And I think that even if you just know that word, you're kind of smarter than a lot of other people. if you use it correctly, it's really full points.
But I also, so I feel like this should be penultimate because it sounds cooler because this episode.
The ultimate.
The ultimate. So let me give you a little insight. So we're
watching. Okay, so that one was the penultimate. This is the ultimate.
This is the ultimate. So we watched X in the City, which is the final episode of season two. We went on a journey with season two.
Like, season remember two when was we the started? Highest of highs.
Highest of highs, lowest of lows. Lowest remember of we lows. Started in the Major League Baseball dressing room with Samantha, like creepily leering at their penises.
When the door's closing and her, all you can see are her eyes moving with the door.
She's actually salivating over balls.
And she's obviously, yeah, and sweaty, stinky, gross.
Yeah.
Those places don't smell good. It is, no. You escape that as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Run.
So, okay. So when I think of Sex in the City.
Yes.
Okay, when I just think of it, I'm going for a walk. I'm drinking my slow-release caffeine
tea. And as we do, we think of this show a lot.
As we do.
As we do.
To make sense of my own life.
Yeah.
So I think of Carrie in her striped skirt outfit when she's trying to go to the museum and it's closed. I think of her asking Aiden to forgive her in the vestibule of her apartment. I think of her calling Miranda from Paris because she's so lonely. What do you think of?
I think of
what's wrong? Are you not recording?
Think of the engagement. No. Oh gosh. Oh no. I think of the engagement. I think of we're gonna get Maui'd. I think of I think of the post-it note a lot.
Yeah, yes.
I think of the post-it note a lot more than so many people
then
should.
You probably should.
I think of when she's like, how many deodorants do you need? And she's like, has a million deodorants in her hands and then finds his Rogaine. the Rogaine. I think of maybe a lot of my things revolve around Aiden. I really think about Aiden. Oh, I know. Okay, sorry, I'm taking over. I think of abso-fucking-lutely. And when the driver just drives off with no command and leaves Carrie stranded there.
With Big's head hanging out the
first
window.
First episode, yes.
Okay, I'm going to say something really cool, and then I just want you to floor it, Billy Bob.
Yeah, you'll know what it is.
I also think of Big and Aiden wrestling at the cabin in the mud.
Oh, I think of her making a pie. I think of her making that goddamn pie so wrong, so incorrectly. And the squirrel coming in. And then when they're in the city and they're eating McDonald's hot apple pies. And they're like, this is living.
Yeah. So, okay. So,
oh, we, oh, oh. We,
What? One more.
My favorite. There's my two more. Two more. Two more.
Okay. Two more. Go.
When fall comes and she takes her bedspread and she said, in the first signs of fall, like it's like this perfect moment. We'll get there. I think it's next season. And then also when Aiden and her break up and she tiptoes back into the room that he's renovating the next and lays with him for the night. It's one of the most heartbreaking scenes I've ever seen on TV of all time.
And okay, the music wait, I have one more too. When she's pregnant and they're trying to hide it, like SJP's actually pregnant and she gets a pimple when she's trying to have sex with Big in Atlantic City.
Oh my God, Atlantic City. A lot of those scenes live rent-free in my mind. When Charlotte's done up like a hussy.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, oh, okay, but, okay. But more, we can go on. Okay, but so we just had a jam session, but more than any other scene, truly any other episode, when Carrie walks up to Big at his engagement party and says, your girl is lovely, Hubble, and touches his cheek and her hair is crazy curly and she's wearing that white silk bias cut gown, that scene and really a lot of this episode epitomizes Sex and the City.
It really does. Yeah.
It truly does.
It's like, to me, in a lot of ways, it's the start. This is when it really gels on every level and it really doesn't let up until the end. We're on. They've got it down pat. The writing, the cinematography, the sets, the characters.
It just took like 36 episodes.
Yeah. Thanks for bearing with us.
Thanks for bearing. Please keep buying ads. So I love this episode because as a viewer, I think that we get to witness Carrie shaking off her insecurities the same way that horse like refuses to be bridled. Yes. And she steps into her full personhood, right? She's untamable. She is not simple. She accepts that. And she should not and will not settle for anyone.
I love the scene. I think one of the nicest shot scenes of the whole series is when she just turns around and that horse is being bridled for the Central Park ride, and it's in slow motion, and then she turns around and her eyes are all fierce, and you can tell like Carrie's got it. She's got her groove. And the rest is like, it's about Carrie and the power that she holds. It's great.
Yes. And it's because it's not about her being defined by who she's dating or being picked by a man. It's, you get to see her as a fully realized person. Oh, and it's so good. I love that.
I love it too. It's so good. And I thought, okay, so.
Okay, so on that note, bye.
Yes, so, I'm not recording again. So full disclosure. This is the second time we're recording this episode because of Ricky Stupid did tea. You know what else? This episode epitomizes that sleek, minimal 90s aesthetic.
Oh God, it's beautiful.
Everything in this episode is high-end 90s sleek. I love it. I love it. I'm so into it. And I feel like my house is like that. Don't I have like a 90s sleek aesthetic? I hope I do.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's kind of like American Psycho before he murders anyone.
Right? Meredith, are you putting that tea directly onto my leather couch? Or onto the coaster on the normal?
Because I will fuck you up.
So let's dive in, Meredith.
Where do you think this episode ranks? So we know we love it.
We love it. I think it's iconic. So I think it's actually between 10 and 15.
Okay. I thought so too. And I'm a little pissed that it's not, to be honest, because
interesting.
I don't even have to think about this episode for the scenes in it to come up in my mind. Like, I don't have to be reminded. Like,
I think of her getting that invitation.
Yeah.
You know, like you just think of that moment, like, oh my God, why did they invite her? This is so insane.
I know, it's so weird. So it's 25th.
Okay, you know what? I can deal with top quarter, top 25%.
Yep. Yeah. So it's 25th out of almost 100.
Okay, I can handle. Why would it be not top 15? Like, what did it say is the downfall? It just says like a solid episode or what?
Yeah, let me see. My like mouse is being funny. Just bear with me while I scroll so slowly. It says the season 2 finale brings it home with parallels to the season 1 finale. Coupled with a more assured vision. That's true. The last scene in which Carrie sends Big off to his young new fiance is a killer. Yes, it is. Just like the romantic car ride she and Big share at the end of the first season.
Okay.
Samantha even ends up with a guy whose equipment is too big instead of Mr. Too Small from season 1, leaving us to wonder if she'll ever find Mr. Just Right.
She's a Goldie Cox, which I thought was hilarious.
Because later she finds Mr. Richard Right. Oh, that's funny.
Oh.
Miranda has more great rom-com material. She tries to be just friends with Steve, but fails. Charlotte's not mentioned. Sorry, Charlotte.
Well, Charlotte has a filler storyline, but then again, it's pretty. Like, I thought it was really pretty.
It's very pretty, and you know, very appropriate for her because for she's her. Upper East Side princess.
Exactly. A WASP. And she is, and it's also so New York. I mean, can you think of a more elite New York moment than riding your horse in the park?
It's so elite, and it blew my mind. And I couldn't help but wonder, can you still go horseback riding?
I don't know if you still can, but as we, I remember a famous scene from Hair. You know Hair well because of your son is starring in it on right now, community theater. And there's just a scene where Barbara D'Angelo is riding her horse in the park and they all do this whole song on horses. And it's, she's a rich girl. I don't know if you can. Can you? It blows my mind too.
You must.
Wouldn't you have to prove that you're a great horse rider? Like, how could you just go and do that?
I know. Like, just without signing any. Okay. Can you ride horses in Central Park? Horseback riding is offered. So you can, by appointment. You can make an appointment. I guess you can.
Yeah. Strange. I mean, it seems a big liability.
In Central Park, horseback riding is permitted year-round during regular park hours. So you can.
I think that's magical. That's magical and problematic. That's
magical. And you just like mow down some tourists.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, So the episode starts off where Carrie and Miranda are buying flowers and they're debating on which flowers to get, long lasting expensive or cheap and chic. Short, and Carrie actually goes for the cheap and chic, which I think is very Carrie. And Miranda sees Steve and they freak out. She runs out. She throws everything. Doesn't she throw a cell phone? And she just runs down the street.
Does she throw her cell
phone? I feel like there was a cell phone flying. It was just so dramatic. It actually doesn't seem like what Miranda would do. She's strong.
She's strong, but in And Just Like That, remember at the end of season 2 of And Just Like That, she has that whole arc where she realizes that she doesn't maintain relationships with her exes. She just throws them away. Remember?
So that is a parallel.
And then remember she and Brady meet in Coney Island and then their son is just lurking.
Is lurking.
Brady, what's Brady doing up there?
Yeah.
There.
Brady, why did you follow us? We talked to you about this.
Yeah.
Brady, you're supposed to stay home.
And then they eat brownies.
Really? Mm-hmm. Like in Just Like That?
No, in Sex and the City. Remember they all meet up at the coffee shop and then they share like a giant brownie?
Was that a brownie? Because I feel like it was a big mud pie.
It was like a brownie with whipped cream on it.
Oh, I thought it was a pie. Okay, really delving into the important plot points here. And they just talk about this whole thing about staying friends with exes. And I think it's very interesting. Carrie wishes she could. Miranda wishes she could.
Yeah, and Carrie's point is valid. She says, we keep dresses that we never wear again, but we throw out our ex-boyfriends.
Yes.
Are you friends with any of your exes?
No need.
I cringe.
I think I had some nice exes and everything, but why? Why the fuck do I need to be a friend with any of them?
Yeah, I know. I mean, maybe things are different now because it's less, it's not as binary. It's like, this is my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my partner, or they're not. Where now I feel like it's just like someone I slept with who maybe I still have a relationship with, who you could be friends with.
That sounds terrible. Is that what it's like now?
I think so. I think it's less
it
like...
sounds so sad.
I think it's less black and white. I think it's... Yeah, I think just, it is pretty just, flexible. Just
pansexual and like... Blah, blah, blah.
The way you said that was...
Pansexual. Like, my cheeks went so limp.
Yeah, you just gave up. You just gave up on holding your face together.
I feel like that's how this generation is giving up on... relationships.
Okay, boomer.
I would like a bit more stress. I would like you to be up all night sweating looking at the at your texts.
I mean, I get it. I kind of like the flexibility. It's like, why?
I always liked when I was just kind of freeform dating people. I thought that was really fun.
Like kind of like freeform jazz, you just scat at those just people.
Just like yes, I love. Oh God, do I ever love jazz? Do I ever love freeform scat jazz?
It's like your middle name, Ricky. Oh,
Ricky's
freeform.
A jazz man. Ricky Scat.
Scatological.
Scatty Ricky.
Anyways, so you're obviously not friends with your exes. I didn't mind the idea. I think it's interesting that Carrie... There's something sweet here.
I don't
here.
Have time.
Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't have time. But between Carrie and Big, there obviously is something there. Because even
okay.
when she calls Big...
I know, but she says, I want to be friends. And then she's like, why not me? Oh, what about, like, she's not really, she's putting it on.
You don't think she actually wants to be friends with him?
No, she wants to be near him to see if there's a chance at more.
But then we witness it later that she does have a friendship with him. Remember when
he starts cheating on Natasha with her?
Yeah. Okay.
She had an ulterior motive.
Okay. So are you of the theory that people who've slept together can't just be friends?
No, definitely not. I think you can definitely be friends. And I actually think exes with kids like should be kind of friendly and like that's nice. Like that type of stuff is nice. Yeah. I just, gosh, I think that like, you know, when you date someone and you disinvest in your other friendships because you're focusing so much on that person. Mm-hmm. When you stop dating that person, you should reinvest in your friends. You should find the balance again. You don't need to add that new person into the friend pile. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't need more friends.
So you think there's a limit like on five. How many, there's a limit on how many friends you need in your life. You shouldn't try to make new friends.
Exactly. You don't need you don't need new friends.
So have you made all the friends you're going to make for the rest of your life?
I feel like I have.
Who did you just go for a walk today? Was that a new friend?
Katie Reed. Who I've known forever.
Oh, okay, never mind.
With for 5 years.
Never mind. never mind.
No, I can make new friends. You can make new friends. It's harder as you age. So hard as you age. So maybe that's why you start looking at exes and you're like, should we be friends now?
Yeah, you've investigated my exit onlys. Maybe we should be friends.
What? Are you actually friends with some of your exes? I'm sorry to beat this up.
No.
Dead horse.
No, I'm not. And I think it's but I also think it's like time and place. Like I'm just in such a different place in my life.
You have too much going on.
Well, and two of the partners that I had I met them overseas. So, like, we're in different countries.
Oh, you're different
countries.
Places. That's happened to me, too. Like, I don't have any exes in Calgary.
Or the exes I have here were, like, high school boyfriends.
Yeah, and you grow apart.
Yeah, it's just, why? And I remember when we first joined Facebook, how remember there was, like, that flurry to, like, reconnect with people. And then when you reconnected with some of them, it was like, I remembered why I'm not friends with you. Because why? But then you do hear stories about how people is usually like older generations who reconnect on Facebook and then like rekindle romances,
widows and widowers. I think that's a very nice stage of life, actually.
Yeah.
Because then at that point, not a nice stage if you're spouse has died. But if you're onto a second kind of life with someone, well, why not go for someone who's fully vetted? Your high school sweetheart, and maybe it's perfect. So I think that's sweet.
Yeah.
You know what I don't love is that they keep referring to Natasha as the stick figure with no soul or whatever. And I always find that just so dismissive of, I guess that's how you talk about the other woman, but it's nothing to do with her. Like they tend to focus on, and it's still in that era where you focus on the other woman as being the bad person.
As not being this, the villain.
Like, dick. Yeah, not Mr. Big, where she's trying to be friends with him so desperately, but Natasha's the villain.
Yeah, although I do have to say I did really like in that scene when Carrie's talking about being friends with Big, like, where does the love go? And she's reflecting on it and being pretty, like, sensitive about it. But then at the end of the scene, all of her friends are like, Natasha, what a bullshit name. Yeah, you know, like, they're right on her side.
They're right on her side. And that's what you do to help triage that situation with your friend, and it's totally fine. Totally fine. Miranda and Steve?
I find this really sweet. Like, they do have such good chemistry.
They really do. They do, and because we also think of them as Miranda and Steve. It's like a true duo.
Yeah, and Cynthia Nixon and David Eigenberg they're really sweet together. And, yeah. I mean, I like their chemistry better than SJP's and He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Oh, really?
I do. I find it more natural. I
think that's interesting.
And you can see the origin of their friendship that then continues into And Just Like That, where we find them sitting on the pier in Coney Island being like, let's be friends. Like, we were friends. Yeah,
we were friends. Now, tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, consider this.
Oh, I will.
Do they have a little bit of a brother and sister vibe?
Brother and sister vibe? Like, what do you mean by that?
The way they, like, I don't feel a raw chemistry, but they have chemistry. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't see the sexual chemistry because it repulses me on both sides. So, but there is chemistry.
Because you find them both repulsive?
The thought of them having sex makes me want to puke. I'm kidding. I was trying to think of something. No. I just can't. It doesn't turn me on. It does not. No, sorry.
Does SJP and Voldemort together turn you on?
Who's Voldemort?
Mr. Big.
Yep.
It does?
I love him.
Wow. Okay, like, I don't find Steve attractive. I don't. But I don't find it repulsive.
I don't find Aiden attractive either. Nope. I think he'd have a smelly mess.
You don't like the smell of, like, clean, hardworking man sweat?
No, I think it would be everything's clean and he's, like, washed everywhere and except put on his Aka Kappa except his dick. And, like, he's like,
I can't
smell
it
down here. He can smell his armpits. He's like, should be good. Good to go.
He just dips it in, like, the toilet water.
Yeah, exactly.
Call it clean.
Yeah.
I feel like he would smell like, oh my God, I found, like, mountain men.
Old Spice?
Like, no, but even, like, men sweat. Like, I find that attractive.
But I am into burger body odor.
And what, like, would Burger smell like?
Leather.
You think he'd smell like leather more than Aiden? Aiden actually wears rawhide. And jade jewelry.
Burger drives that motorcycle very poorly.
You're right. I do like that smell.
And I just feel like he would smell like scent, like a kind of like a Santel 33 Lalabo or something. It's John Corbett.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. I think pickles.
I see
I'm
it.
Thinking pickle, like a pickle scent. KFC, like, on garlic? His fingers.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. We digress. But Steve, is just pure runner's sweat. Pure, like, after an hour jog, balls.
Okay, can any listeners tell us if they find Steve attractive? And if you do, what do you think he would smell like? And why is that hot too? I'm just curious. I'm not trying to yuck anyone's yum. That's the rule. Oh yeah,
no, we don't.
You do not yuck a yum. You do not yuck
a yum. And let me tell you, Meredith will call you on it. Because she keeps track of the what's been yucked in her presence.
I will yuck that judgment. So, Samantha has sex with this, like, do you find Mr. Cocky attractive?
You know what? When she was walking by him, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, but then when he started talking to her and everything, his, like, face looked different to me. And he's like... teeth looked weird and everything kind of looks strange.
He's a huge dude.
Huge, huge, huge dude.
Yeah, he's a huge dude.
I think he's attractive. He's like a Mr. Big style attractive, you know?
Like very rugged.
Wall Streeter. Oh, really? I thought he was more like Wall Street.
Really? But he's rugged. I mean, he's like a banging bod.
Yes, he had a nice body. I thought it's sweet that Samantha actually like really tried so hard to make it work.
Yeah. It's a pretty funny storyline. So Mr. Cocky actually he's huge. He's like a huge cock and he can't have sex with any woman and he's really sad about it.
Could you imagine the curse of that? Like
just like a donkey dick.
Just a donkey dick. And it doesn't look nice. Honestly, they're never nice.
It's like a wall of right? flesh coming
they
towards
They are never
me.
Nice. You think like everyone think, oh, big dick. And you see it and it's just, it's like a baby, you know, like a baby's arm.
Holding an apple. You've never heard that before?
Oh.
I find it's weird that you don't like that.
How big are we talking? Like, I'm thinking he was like, you know, like 10 inches and crazy thick.
I mean, it's the thickness, it's the girth that I think can sometimes be really uncomfortable. If it's long, I mean, we're having this
But who wants that either?
I mean,
when it's tickling your diaphragm.
That's the thing. It hurts when it hits your cervix. So, like, nobody actually wants something that big.
Ugh.
You don't.
No, no.
You don't. You don't.
No, you don't want that. And yeah, like I just think it's like, you know, every guy thinks he wants that. And then, you know, you can't really actually have sex with women.
No, you can't. You can't do it.
That's sad. I know.
It is kind of sad. It's a funny storyline. Carrie has amazing outfits in this episode.
Carrie
so you want to say one more thing
outfit.
About that huge dick?
No. I just thought Samantha was very funny when she was like, oh, this is good.
I know.
Ooh, wait, she had... Mm.
Ooh, and he's like, okay, here we go. And she's like, wait, what? like, there's just a tip?
There's a scene. Wait, there's a scene where she's like...
Mmm, good.
I'm not most women. So unzip and get over here. And then that was it. I loved it.
But she's like a weird accent because she's like, unzip and get over here.
Yeah.
Like,
unzip and get over here.
Yeah. And then she's like, wait.
Right?
Wait.
Ooh, this is good. Ooh. Oh, this is good. and then I thought that actually, speaking of accents, I thought that Miranda and Steve had a funny one. We could reenact it as well. Defense kiss.
God. Call 911.
Defuenz kiss here.
Oh, don't. It's making me uncomfortable.
Defuenz kiss here.
Gross. It sounds like a pedophile priest.
But that's how he sounds. Defuenz kiss here.
I don't like it.
Sorry, that's going to be so loud. I went right into the mic and it's going to be full. Did anyone, I'm sorry, did anyone notice our episode was like much bigger and bolder and louder last episode?
Why?
Because our software has a big new artificial intelligence upgrade that lets really? That like fixes everything and boosts it. Oh my God. Oh, so nice. Game changer.
That's awesome.
Okay. Okay. So there's that. But you know, the crux, the highlight, I think, of this episode, actually, is
their lunch,
right? Mm-hmm. So,
okay, but first, can we talk about two outfits? So,
The outfits. Sorry.
So when Carrie first calls Big, she's wearing this like strappy, white, really fitted tank top that's sheer in the back, mm-hmm. and a sparkly pink sequin skirt.
Oh,
and she looks amazing. And then for lunch with Big, I was like, this is the most beautiful dress I've seen in my life. It's like a powder pink,
gorgeous,
ruched dress. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. Where do I get it? Buy it for me. Let me have it.
I had a few highlights of fashion too. So I thought that Miranda with that simple white perfect tee, again, 90s minimalism, that kind of like home with her
when
short
she's
red
eating
hair.
Her biscotti.
No, this is when Steve comes to say hi to her. Like,
yeah, and she's eating her biscotti.
She's eating biscotti?
Yeah. She's reading the newspaper and eating biscotti.
This is so cute. And I thought that was so nice. And then I thought that Natasha in that scene where she's just in the background is the perfect like long camel skirt with this like gorgeous. And Charlotte with the riding gear. It's just so perfect. It was just those riding boots and the beige pants and the little t-shirt and everything. So anyway.
I do love a riding outfit.
I love a riding outfit. I love a riding boot.
I love a riding boot. God, they're the best.
It's the beautiful most beautiful. Line. Oh,
jeans,
gorgeous lines.
Skirts, shorts.
Right?
Anything.
Expensive. Yep. It's an investment.
It is an investment. So they meet for lunch and it's really funny because Carrie, Big is nervous. He's kind of nervous, mm-hmm. but then we find out why. They also drink. Like, it's ridiculous how much scotch Big is drinking. Like, do you see the glasses? It's like a triple.
He's definitely a drinker.
Yeah. So Big tells Carrie that he's engaged.
Yeah. And so, well, first she made a couple mistakes during this before this. Okay. So they started reminiscing about their relationship bad. It's too fast, too soon. Yeah. And they did determine it was only 5 months ago. 5 months.
They said that? It's been 5 months?
5 months, they said it. And so they started reminiscing like it's like 30 years in the future. No, this was 5 months ago. And they were kind of like, it was like good old times. It's very
too
raw.
So we're saying that Big left for Paris in May, meets Natasha in June, runs into Carrie in August, and is engaged in September.
Yeah. Right? It's so fast. So so that happens. And then she asks him, why not me? Like, what was... she ask him that at that time?
No, she's...
Oh, wait.
She doesn't ask him that yet. She's just pissed. Oh, and she's like,
right.
You were Mr. Afraid of Commitment. Because he is. Like, he says that he doesn't want to promise her anything when he goes to Paris, right? He doesn't want to... I mean, he's just not that into her. But then it's interesting because I don't get the sense that Big has very many friends, or the friends that he has are kind of assholes. Yes. So he obviously... He wants something with Carrie.
And he wants to talk about Natasha to someone. So that's what she does. She asks about Natasha. Oh, let's... well, how about Natasha? What's she like? What, you know? Yeah. And he's like, really? And she's like, no, I don't actually want to ask you that.
Yeah.
But I want to want to ask you that.
Yeah, I want to get to the place. I mean, 5 months, that's...
Yeah.
And then there's the one thing for Friendometer. Carrie is an absolute bitch at the stables.
Butts out her goddamn cigarette onto the... She yells at a horse.
She's wearing $300 high heels and then is pissed that she's wearing high heels
around
horses.
It's everyone else's fault, like the world's fault. And then butts out her cigarette on with animals there that could...
They could eat it. I know. She's awful.
She's awful. That's like how she is in yoga. Every yoga class.
She's just
so dismissive.
If Carrie was my friend, and I would take that so personally.
I would too. I take those types of things like, you're here. This is my thing. You're on my time.
And you're being a super bitch.
And you're being a bitch. So simmer the fuck down, Gary.
Yeah, because Charlotte's so understanding. She's just like, I'm sorry.
I know. And it's just like, always has to be about Carrie. It always has to be about Carrie, right? Always. Like, she's just this bundle of negative shit energy, and everyone has to, like, just coddle her.
That's why I love it in the end when it's like from the first time you see her without those insecurities, just like wit standing in her own power.
Then you see the yes, then you see something like it's grounded and she's connecting to. She realized something in that moment that she cannot be tamed. She's a Katie.
She cannot be tamed. Okay, so what happens is that Miranda introduces the idea that Natasha is the simple girl. And it's from, have you seen The Way We Were?
I have a long time ago.
Like the corner of my mind. So I love Barbara.
I love Barbara. I just downloaded her Audible of her autobiography, which is 40 hours of audio.
Wow. Of just her talking? Does she sing? Does she sing in it?
There's no doubt that there's probably full production of her, like maybe recordings or her singing now.
Do you know what I think love is like a sleeper hit? Yentl.
Yentl. I was just going to say it. I love Yentl so love Yentl. Much.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So good. Papa, can love you it. Hear me?
Papa, can you hear in the night?
Oh, God. It's so good. Anyways, Way We Were. So Anatoly, it's really meaningful to Carrie because she's like, oh, I was too much for him. I was too complicated. He needed something simple.
But that's like the lie you tell your friends when they break up with someone. They say, you're too amazing for him. You're too pretty and you're too great. No, it makes sense. But listen. And then they're like, you're right. I am too gorgeous for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but no, you're right. And I like this thing. There's like there's two types of women. There's the Katie and the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Katie.
Yep. And she's a Katie. And but it is meaningful to her. Like she it makes was a meaning. Nice
it was a nice way for Miranda to frame it.
Look, I just read this article that because every action has an equal
reaction,
if you think of it in terms of neurons, then we actually don't have free will. So if you apply like physics,
is this article that had the thing about caffeine?
It's not pseudoscience. If you Google it, it will blow your mind. So the idea so every choice that we made has already been predetermined because of like where we come from, previous actions, all these things shape who we are. But then the question is, if you kind of layer on other theories on top of it, maybe we do have some decision-making power in that moment. Like we can. Maybe we can't. I don't even know where it's going with this.
Where was this article?
Well, I'll send it to you. It's mind blowing.
Interesting.
But then it just makes me think of if we do have some decision making power to know that everything is predetermined, if we don't have free will, maybe the only thing we can do is modify how we react to the thing that's gonna happen anyways.
Oh my gosh.
So if it gives Carrie new energy, purpose, meaning in how she reacts in this last moment, showing up at the engagement party, then I think that's a win.
Interesting. Well, she, you know what? It was the right thing for her to have that interaction with Big. And she held it under control. She touched his face, which I think is weird, while Natasha was watching.
I thought it was a power move. I was there for it.
Yeah. And he was like leaning into it. See, foreshadowing. Yep. What a beautiful episode.
Yeah. And then she's wearing this amazing white silk dress.
This dress and her body. I just hate to mention her body too much, but wow, you have to be confident to wear that. And she is rock solid.
How hard is it to wear a bias cut silk dress?
Like you can see her belly button on her abs.
Yeah.
It is something.
Yeah. It's super. She looks amazing. It's beautiful. And like talk about that perfect 90s sheath aesthetic. And she's wearing simple necklace, like a simple heel. Ugh.
90s minimalism.
It's so beautiful. It almost looks like a wedding dress.
It could be. It could be that kind of like, or it could be that chic bridesmaid dress that people try to do.
That you wear white to a wedding? It's a bold.
No,
bold
silver. Move. Is it kind of silver? No, it's white, isn't it?
It's pretty white. Yeah. I mean, I would call it white.
Yeah, you'd call it white. Now, friendometer, low.
She's a super bitch. She's unpleasant.
Yeah, she's not the best.
Yeah,
demanded a lot from them.
Yeah, and again, it's all about her, which is fine, because I'm here for it and I liked it, and I was there for her too.
Fashion, knocking it out of the park. They even used a Prada logo in this one with that one scene with Mr. Cox and Cocky, Mr. Cocky.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That means that is buy-in from Prada. So they're starting to get like, right, the designers are behind them, which is very good. And everything about it was beautiful and polished. Like I even looked at Mr. Big's apartment when they were like focusing on that call. When he was
like, you'd like that room.
I thought that room was so beautiful.
It was. It was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And it made me wish that we lived in a time when you could talk to someone, a one-way conversation into the air of someone's home on their answering machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember? Like, no one will ever know. No one will know what that was.
I know. I was trying to explain it to my kids. They're like, what is that? I'm like, well, if you leave a message on their phone, and they're like, oh, like a FaceTime. And I'm like, it's a recording.
And it's in the air.
Yep.
Like it's not even.
And they can pick it up.
And they can pick it up. And then you record it. Do you remember this? Your conversation would be recorded in the message. It would add you in, right? Like, so you could replay the whole thing.
And listen to it again.
And listen to everything again. Anyway.
Yeah.
Full of charm, charming 90s references. Great episode.
It made me really happy. I
loved it. I would watch it again right now. I loved it.
Oh, I watched it like 3 times this week.
Really? Yeah. No, I think it's so good. And it actually makes me so excited for season 3. So, hey, everyone, we're done. This was our 50th episode.
Woohoo!
And we're done the season. Season 2. My.
Y'all, I know that a lot of you have tuned in to listen to us for And Just Like That, and that means so much to us.
We should mention that at the top.
You have, and we love watching And Just Like That, but I love it. No buts, I would say. And it's also so wonderful to rewatch Sex and the City, and I hope that you're watching it with us because it's so
Isn't this fun? Like now we're getting in. Now we're truly getting into the fun. Season 3 and on, it is fun times.
Aiden is coming, y'all.
Aiden's coming, y'all. Burger's coming.
Burger's coming. Burger Richard. Comes and then leaves.
Burger's in flash in the pan, but he's coming.
Yeah, Richard comes. I don't really like Richard, but
Kate Richard.
He's there.
That crazy, Samantha's crazy girlfriend.
Hey! Yeah, exactly.
Who's that?
That her Spanish lover.
Yeah, she's coming too.
I think she's
like
Portuguese.
It or not.
She's Portuguese.
She's actually the worst actress of all time. So with that.
Happy 50th. To you, Ricky, you don't look a day over 60.
I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there too. Okay, and have a great week, everyone. We loved doing this one for you.
Like and follow us, Just Like What Pod. Bye.
Bye.